You know what lasts forever? God's word. Everything else fails, but not his word. It holds and delivers exactly what he promises. His word is so solid and lasting, you can build your life and hope of eternity on it. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. It all starts Reformation Day, October 31st. Learn more at thewordendures.org.
So if our position is going to be, I'm not going to be involved in this and wait until they tell me that I can't say Jesus died for your sins, the second they tell you you can't say these things are sins without punishment, they're telling you that you can't preach that Jesus died for those sins.
No, everyone is not a minister. You are baptized a Christian, you become a minister or a pastor.
In fact, we should not imitate Luther in his weakness and his bad behavior and be quite ready and willing, of course, to disagree with him if he disagrees with the Holy Scripture.
There is a general belief within evangelicalism that the gospel is the thing that is preached to the unbeliever. The gospel is in the rearview mirror pretty much for the rest of your Christian life.
Farmers in South Dakota listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
Have you ever wondered why abortion is the exception? We are assured that abortion is as safe as going to the dentist and having a tooth filled. And yet, when abortion clinics and facilities, organizations like Planned Parenthood, are asked to submit to simple health and medical regulations like any other medical or health organization, they squawk. They get up on their hind legs, they resist it, they call in their political allies, they spend a lot of money to keep those regulations and laws from seeing the light of day. What's going on here? We are assured that legalized abortion is supposed to keep women safe. There are signs all over the place at every pro-abortion rally that legal abortion keeps women safe. Is that true? Do the actual records of health and medical violations for abortion clinics bear that out? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio here in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us first in this hour, Holly Shear, will talk about the safety of abortion clinics. Then a little bit later, we'll be going through your email and the Issues Etc. comment line, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the listener comment line number 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the real safety of abortion clinics, Holly Shear. She's a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "These Health Violations at Illinois Abortion Facilities Will Make You Sick." Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on today.
Holly, would you outline for us as best you can the quote-unquote women's safety argument of abortion advocates?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the argument of people who might come to you and say, you know, they're not a huge fan of the idea of abortion, or they are maybe even personally pro-life, but politically pro-choice, but we need to keep abortion legal because if it's illegal, it will be unsafe for women and it will drive it back to back alley abortions and unsafe practices and drive it back to the day and age where women were forced into settings and practices that were unsafe and dangerous for women. It outlines a set of arguments that say the only thing keeping abortion safe for women is the current legality of abortion.
So they introduce this notion of kind of the hypothetical underground abortion industry. How does that play into the argument?
Yeah, they sit there and they bring up this whole set of hypotheticals that if we create a legal structure where abortion is no longer legal, women will keep getting abortions at the rates they are now, and they will have to do it illegally. And so they will go underground for it. They will seek out people who are not clinicians. They will order drugs themselves online. They will go back to the coat hanger or knitting needle, and women will die and they will hurt themselves and it will be really, really horrible. And obviously nobody wants to see women doing things that will hurt themselves. It needs to be said very clearly. We do not want to see women endangering themselves. We do not want to see women killing themselves. We don't want to see that happen. And that has never really been the pro-life position. This is a totally unfair characterization of the pro-life position by pro-choice people. And it's not something that anyone on the pro-life side wants to see happen when they push back against current abortion laws.
The argument rests largely upon the assumption that legal abortion facilities are safe. Are they?
I would say no, they're not. And the article that I had come out today, I outlined clinics just in one state. And when I started this article, I was going to go through every state. And there was so much information just from the clinics in Illinois that it quickly became apparent that it was going to be a little bit overwhelming going just through Illinois, and it would be completely overwhelming to go through every state. And so I stuck to just one state. And I sat there. There are 13 clinics that have operated in Illinois, and I went through every health department violation that was listed for each of the clinics and kind of summarized them. And not a single clinic that is operating under the guise of women's health in Illinois is operating in a safe and sanitary and hygienic manner for these women. These women are coming in for women's health care, for abortion, for family planning services, and they're being told that because it is legal, because it is regulated, that they're going to a safe place, right? And it's not what's happening. They're going to clinics that there are not proper drugs there in case they get sick. There are not crash carts that are well stocked in case they suffer a cardiac event during a surgical procedure, that there are fire suppression systems that are not working in case a fire breaks out, that doors are blocked in case they need to get out in an emergency. These are not safe places for women to go, and they're all legal. They're all operating completely legally in the state of Illinois. And it's just, this is not serving women.
We should point out that Illinois has some of the laxest laws and regulations regarding abortion facilities. We're really talking here about the worst of the worst situations here, where the argument that this is safe isn't even enforced in law in the state of Illinois.
Right. Illinois does not require direct counseling for mothers before abortions. They do not require a waiting period after counseling, because counseling isn't required, right? They do not require an ultrasound before you have an abortion. They do not require parental consent for minors. The limits they have set on abortions are currently at viability. There is a health or life of the mother exception to that viability limit. All of these clinics do not have to meet ambulatory surgical center requirements. And when you hear that, it might be a little bit confusing what that actually requires. If you go get your tonsils out, or you go get a minor surgical procedure in one of those clinics that is not a hospital, they are required to be able to handle medical emergencies that arise during surgery. Because we know that when you have a procedure under anesthesia, sometimes things go wrong. We don't want them to, but sometimes things can happen. These clinics are exempt from those requirements. They do not have to meet the same requirements as a clinic that removes your tonsils, that puts in ear tubes, that does these other minor surgical procedures. So women go in for surgical abortions under anesthesia, and these clinics do not have to meet those same requirements. Illinois requires or allows webcam abortions where you can sit there and you can Skype or FaceTime with a doctor. You don't have to meet them face to face, and they can prescribe medicine to you to have an abortion. And they require abortions to be performed by doctors only with surgical abortion.
So we're not talking in these violations, this long list of violations that you'll summarize for us here in a minute. We're not talking about these clinics being in violation of some high standard, nitpicky kind of regulation.
No, not at all. These are not pie in the sky high violations that nobody can meet. These are basic health and sanitation requirements.
So give us some examples of the violations that you found in the state of Illinois alone.
I found things like crash carts, missing supplies, clients who had to be transferred to hospitals for complications. I found doctors who did not have admitting rights to local hospitals. I found clinics where every single employee working at the clinic was missing required background checks, where there were no x-ray machines on premises, so they could not check for missing surgical tools after procedures, where they were also performing other types of surgeries at the clinics with no surgeons on staff. I found where they had totally missing records, again, with the missing fire suppression systems, missing sprinkler systems, where they were storing liquid oxygen, which is incredibly flammable, close to other combustibles. I found clinics where they were written up for having stained implements, implements with questionable brown staining and substances on them that had not been cleaned off. I found clinics where their autoclaves, which are medical sanitation things that you put your reusable instruments in to kill all of the germs on them, basically, where those were not working. And when they were tested by the health department, they were not killing the germs. So reusable instruments were not safe and not hygienic, where resuscitation equipment was unavailable, where there were problems with narcotics and narcotic storage, where syringes were being left open and they were not marked whether they had been used already. Sedation was being administered by doctors who may or may not have been qualified to administer it, which is incredibly dangerous. Sedation is one of those things that you want the person administering it to be safe to administer it. You don't want there to be some sort of sedation accident. Ultrasounds were being performed by doctors who did not have documentation allowing them to perform those ultrasounds. There are all of these things. And again, none of those things are simple things like they didn't put paperwork away at the end of the day, although there were clinics also doing that. They were not storing people's personal health information in secure places. It was being left out where other people could view it. But these are not just simple things that weren't endangering people's safety. These are serious, serious things. These aren't clinics where you would want anyone in your life to go. These are dangerous violations.
Holly Shear is our guest. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "These Health Violations That Illinois Abortion Facilities Will Make You Sick." We're talking about the safety of abortion clinics. When we come back, we'll talk about Kermit Gosnell and Ulrich Klopfer. They are presented, when they are even acknowledged by the abortion industry, as outliers. Is this necessarily true? The new Portals of Prayer devotional Bible is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. This devotional resource contains the entire English Standard Version of the Bible with 700 devotions from Portals of Prayer. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or learn more about Portals of Prayer devotional Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer Devotional Bible.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org.
You know what lasts forever? God's Word. Everything else fails, but not His Word. It holds and delivers exactly what He promises. His Word is so solid and lasting, you can build your life and hope of eternity on it. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. It all starts Reformation Day, October 31st. Learn more at thewordendures.org.
We're talking about the safety of abortion clinics with Holly Shear of The Federalist. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to Pastor Mark Bestel and Calvary Lutheran Church in Elgin, Illinois, for recently renewing their membership in our Congregational Sponsorship Program. Congregational sponsors not only help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., they also receive advertising for their confessional Lutheran churches on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more about the Issues Etc. Congregational Sponsorship Program on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org. And don't wait. Churches are planning their budgets right now for the next fiscal year. Issuesetc.org. Click Support Donate. Holly, the abortion industry, when it does acknowledge barely that the horror cases like Kermit Gosnell, or more recently Ulrich Klopfer, exist, they usually present these as outliers. Is this necessarily true?
I don't think it is. And I also think that the abortion industry is very, very quiet when we have Klopfer and Gosnell's cases come out. They really try to avoid talking about it at all. And when they do, you know, it's like you said, they kind of shove it to the side and they're like, well, that's not how it normally goes. But I don't think we know how it normally goes, because we see all of these clinics where what we hear about them when we start digging into it is that they are not operating in safe ways. So who knows, when we really start digging into it, exactly what we're going to find and exactly what these clinicians are being allowed to do. We just don't know, because we're not requiring the same things out of them that we would require for hospitals. We're not giving them very strict standards for the kind of care and medicine they're practicing. And it's allowing them to let the care for women who come through their doors to really slip through the cracks. And I think that should be very scary for everybody who looks around at all of the people in their lives who might make choices that are terribly unfortunate that could lead them to these types of situations.
Are they further allowed the veil of secrecy? Because many of the women who may have experienced complications, those complications go unreported, either because a woman lacks resources to do anything about it, or simply because she doesn't want people to know that she had an abortion.
There is a huge amount of shame when you talk to women who have had abortions years and years later. There are some really good resources out there, some ministries who try to serve those women, and one of the biggest things they do talk about is that shame and how they will sit there and quietly try to hush it up. But they also do talk about how much these clinics downplay what they're going to experience afterwards. And because they downplay those symptoms so much, it means that a lot of these women are having to go seek out care afterwards. They're told that after an abortion procedure, it's going to be very minor, the discomfort and pain and bleeding they experience. And that's not the experience for many of these women. There's some pretty recently published research that I link in this article that suggests that about 40% of women within 6 weeks of an abortion are having to visit an emergency department, which is staggering when you think about it, that we're told that abortion, you know, is safe, that it's not hurting women, and yet 40% of these women are having to run to an emergency room afterwards to make sure that they're okay or to get further care. I don't really think that that equals safe to me. I don't know about you, but that's really troubling.
Why does the abortion industry, given what seems to be, they obviously are dealing with health violations constantly, at least in the state of Illinois, why do they continue to resist any and every attempt to improve conditions at abortion clinics?
Because they see any attempt to improve conditions or impose more limitations or more stringent requirements as infringing on choice. That when you sit there and you require more things, a lot of these clinics can't or won't meet it, and it shuts the clinics down. When states have rolled out more stringent requirements, it limits the amount of clinics because these clinics don't have the resources to provide more safe settings. And so instead of trying to meet those standards, they just close. And so really hardline advocates for abortion at any cost, at any length, fight these standards because they don't want to see these clinics close. They would rather see these clinics stay open than require more strict standards.
Finally, you say that legalizing abortion has, in effect, created the illusion of safety for women. What do you mean by that?
It means that when someone sees something legal, when someone sees something open in a strip mall, in a friendly, well-lit neighborhood, when you know that it's legal, when everybody around you is telling you that it's okay, you think it's safe. You think that it's being monitored by somebody and that if there were problems, they would shut it down or clean it up. You think that because there are standards and somebody enforcing those standards, probably, that you're going to go there and you're going to get this abortion that everybody tells you is totally acceptable and that nothing bad is going to happen to you. And what we're seeing is that's not true. It is a lie these women are being fed, that they're being told that they can go have this abortion and it will be totally safe and there will be no negative repercussions for them. And this is one choice in a whole salad bar of options of choices. And it's totally as safe as just having their baby. And the facts of the matter are that's not true. It's not a safe choice. It's not a healthy choice. And it's not a choice that leaves them with their baby at the end of the day. There are better choices for women, and I wish that there was a bigger push to let women know that there are better choices and better options out there for them and for their baby.
You mentioned the option of having the child. It strikes me that if there were a birthing center, a midwifing center, that had these kind of health violations, they wouldn't be in business very long, would they?
Oh, absolutely not. If you were operating some sort of birth center and you didn't have a safe setting for women to give birth, you would be shut down. The state wouldn't let that happen. The women having their babies there wouldn't let that happen. And to think that you can go have an abortion in a setting that you wouldn't give birth in, and that it's okay for one and not the other, it's really striking and sad, isn't it?
Holly Shear is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "These health violations at Illinois abortion facilities will make you sick." You can read it on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of today's program with your email and your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. Stay tuned.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. At issuesetc.org.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, we keep the focus on Christ every Sunday with ancient liturgy, preaching from the lectionary, and celebration of the sacrament of the altar. Come be a part of the evangelical and Catholic faith as handed down to us in the Lutheran Confessions. We celebrate the Divine Service every Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10:30, with Sunday school for all ages at 9:15. To learn more, visit holycrossrockland.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.